mixing business with politics. This is the Nathan Frazier Show.
All right, Free Market Squad, welcome back to the Nathan Frazier Show, the BYO Boss podcast. And today we've got a guy who definitely lives up to the BYO Boss brand, and that is Kevin Cascella of Tri-Swim Coach and a bunch of other things as well. And I'm not sure where this conversation is going to go, but I'm just going to invite Kevin on. Kevin, how are you doing today?
Great, Nathan. It's awesome to be on your show. Thanks so much.
Well, I'm glad to have you. I've heard you around a couple of different more libertarian-themed podcasts before. I've heard your name. I think Brett Vanout was the first person that introduced you and your work to me, and then we met each other through Drew Sample. But you're also a business owner, and I see this kind of overlap. A lot of the business owners that I know tend to lean a little bit more conservative or libertarian, probably because we pay more taxes than the average person does, and we don't really like that. But for the listeners that don't know, give me a little bit of your background, who you are, what kind of business you run, and what your political philosophies are.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I hardly ever get to talk about this stuff, so this is exciting. I talk about like how I started my business a lot, but to get into the philosophy behind it and the politics and all that is really interesting. So I was kind of a corporate drone after I got out of college, and I really, really hated the whole corporate world. Like I thought that that's what you did. Like I thought you graduate from college, you get a job at a company, and you sit in a cubicle, and then you kind of work your way up. And that seemed to be the way that's the only way I could think of like life. But then after a few years of that, I was so miserable having bosses and then having to be at a certain place at a certain time and all that. I thought that there had to be something else out there. I didn't do well with any boss, really. I mean, I had varying degrees of like authoritarian type bosses and then some more kind of laissez-faire ones, but I just never really did well with just any kind of like person that had to be my boss. So eventually it just got to the point where I was like, I got laid off from this company that I was working at. And I knew that, like, in the back of my mind, I was like, I can't go back to that, even though I thought I got to go get a job because I got to get money. But I felt like I couldn't go back to that. And so I started reading a ton of books. And one of the books I picked up at that time was The Rich Dad, Poor Dad, the whole series. They're all really short books, and they make just pretty reasonably understandable concepts around the concept of work and making money. And he introduced me to the idea of passive income, which I never really had thought of before, because growing up, I didn't have any examples of that. I thought like my dad just went off to work every day. He put on a suit and tie and he was in some building, and like that's what I thought work was. And when I read the Rich Dad, Poor Dad stuff, it was like, wow, this is what I've been looking for. This is exactly what I want. So I was ready just to like just go do something, anything that wasn't going into an office. So I was doing, at that time, I started doing personal training. I was really into fitness, and I was doing personal training, which is really hard to make money in because you have to trade your time for money constantly. And I don't have the personality to kind of go all day with dealing one-on-one with clients or doing group sessions or all that stuff takes a lot of like external energy. And I'm more of an introvert. So I found out pretty quickly that that sort of lifestyle or that sort of job was not at all for me. So I started a website called tryswimcoach.com at that time. And it was a swim lesson business because I was a swimmer. My background was competitive swimming. And I started teaching lessons just to adults. And people that were coming to me were triathletes that swim, bike, run. They did swim, bike, run competitions. And they were all horrible swimmers. So they needed my help with getting better at swimming. So I started with that. Like I just go and teach lessons for like $30 an hour or $30 a lesson. And it was fun. Like I had a blast doing that. It wasn't a lot of money again, but it was like, I started feeling myself kind of getting away from the idea of like, oh, I have to have a regular job, you know?
You found yourself in a position where you were trading time for money, which is a lot of us, we love doing this thing. And we're like, hey, I could be my own boss and I could do this thing. And then we realize that it's not very scalable. We realize that we've only got so much time, so we can only get so much money out of that. So what did you do at that point?
Yeah, that's a great question. I started with raising my rates. So I was like, I was doing the personal training and then I was doing the swim coaching or swim lessons. And I started with the, like, I was thinking, I mean, I saw that, that path ahead of me. I was like, oh, okay, I can only do so much with time for money. So I just started raising my rates little by little by little. And then I shifted my business more to doing the swim lessons. I had a small personal training business, but that was so not fulfilling for me. So I started shifting towards just doing the swim lessons, started raising the prices. And pretty soon I became the guy that was known as being really expensive in town. Like I was the most expensive swim instructor that anyone could go to. And so, and that's where the clients started kind of dropping off. But at the same time, that's when I added a website. So I was at a website for that business. And I had the idea to come up with some sort of a plan for these triathletes, like a training plan. And so that was sort of a niche that was out there, like swimming for triathlon, that not, it wasn't really being fulfilled online. So I just took it. I just took that and ran with it. And I first designed like a PDF file. It was just like a series of workouts. And I was selling that for like $15. And so that was kind of like right away I made sales. Like it was like, I put it up, I had a little PayPal link, because I didn't know how to do any of this stuff, but I just had a little PayPal link to buy it. And like immediately, like the day after I put it up, I made like, I think 2 sales. So I was like, this is crazy. Like I can make money. I mean, it was like proving that I can make money from a website, which was a totally foreign concept to me at the beginning there. So that got me that taste of the passive income that I was kind of learning from the Rich Dad stuff. And then it was this thing of like, okay, so do I want to keep going down this path of like continually trading time for money? Or do I want to put my efforts and energy into the web part of the business where I can like make this a bigger thing and sell to more people? Because worldwide, it may be a small audience in my local city, but worldwide, it opens up to like, there's a few million people in my target audience. So that like it all occurred to me, and I was like, okay, so I'm going to go for this website thing. I still had to work part-time jobs. I still had to keep the lessons going, all this stuff for a while. But then eventually it got to the point where I was like, okay, I'm making enough money selling these PDF files to, you know, cut down on all the other work that I'm doing. So that's, so that's kind of where that went. And then I eventually turned that into a book. The PDF file turned into a book. I turned that into a DVD, and then the DVD became a membership website. So now it's something that people can go to my site and they can basically pay a fee, and then they get access to all our videos, all our workouts, everything they need to train for a swim or triathlon.
Okay. So there's a lot of different ways that we can go with this conversation. I kind of want to, if you don't mind, I kind of want to talk about politics, economics, and kind of the future of where all of this is going. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So we're at a point now where a lot of people are in danger of losing their jobs. A lot of jobs are becoming automated. A lot of jobs are becoming, they're getting to the point where it's just not sustainable to have actual employees doing things. Me and you as business owners, we automate a lot of our processes. Rather than things that 10 years ago we would have hired people to do, there's Zapier, there's all these different little tools and apps that we can get and help us do this amazing things. We're seeing societally, we're seeing two different conversations going on. One side of the conversation is capitalism is failing and we need to embrace like a resource-based economy or a more socialist, because capitalism is getting rid of all the, it's turned against the workers. And then there's the other side of the conversation where people like me and you are saying, no, all of this stuff is great. It's making it easier to leave the workplace. I think both sides of the conversation would agree that having a job and working for somebody else sucks. Where do you see society going as automation takes over and as more and more labor becomes obsolescent? Can anybody do this? What's going to happen to the people that are just not capable of starting their own business? Or is there actually even such a thing as people who aren't capable of starting their own business? Where do you see the future going with all of this?
UBI, baby.
UBI, universal basic income. Are you serious about that?
No, absolutely not. No, I think that's the most horrible idea I've heard about this whole topic.
So wait, listeners that don't know, universal basic income is the idea that basically everybody gets a certain cut from the government or maybe taxes. It's proposed different ways, but everybody gets a basically a living income, $500, $900, $1,000 each month just given to them, whether you have a business, whether you're working, whether you're homeless, whatever the case may be. And they say that that will get rid of a bunch of the other welfare programs. I personally have very serious doubts about it. What are your thoughts on UBI?
Yeah, so I think that I'd start with, to respond to that question with this idea of capitalism versus socialism. To me, it's apples to oranges, because capitalism is not a system. The free market is not a system. And that's where people go wrong, is like, they think that it's like, I hear certain people on the left argue that, what would the free market do about this? And it's like, the free market is not, it's not a group of people that decides like a central planning group that decides what is going to happen. It's a hard concept, I think, for a lot of people to get, because it's something that it acts in a way of just individuals in a marketplace acting in their best self-interest. And I think it gets confused with the idea that everybody is going to be selfish and not help other people. But the way I look at it is, yes, they are going to be selfish, but that's a good thing, because they're going to selfishly want to make the most amount of money for themselves that they can. Now, they need customers for that. The business people in a capitalist system or a society, they need customers for that. So they are going to act in their best self-interest. They are going to be selfish. But then what they do is they're going to create products and services that are going to help the most amount of people that they can in whatever it is. So I just don't see any way that a centrally planned bureaucratic system can beat a something where there's supply and demand, and the demand is being filled by the suppliers, which are the business owners. I don't understand quite the other side of the, I guess, argument here, where it's like, well, we have this bureaucracy and we can sort of plan everything out. Because the problem with that I see is that you can't know what's going to happen in the future. Like, the government could decide that we're all going to go, like, let's say they could just decide that we're going to ban cars. We're going to ban gasoline powered cars, and we're going to shift to only electric powered vehicles. And that may sound awesome to some people, like, oh, it'll cut down pollution. There's so many benefits. I mean, like, we don't have to rely on oil, things like that. But how do we know that's where things are going? Like, how can we be so sure that electric cars are the right way? Whereas in a free market, the cream is going to rise to the top, right? The best technology will be the one that people want and demand, not the one that someone decides or a group of people decides is the way to go.
One thing that comes to my mind is this idea of, like, top-down, one-size-fits-all solutions. In your business, you niched because one size doesn't fit all. You can't say this is how you swim and everybody has to swim like this. For different people, different swimming works. So to say the best way to solve the problem of cars is to make everybody drive this kind of car, life tells us that that's not, at least with free people, that's not how things work.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and that's the thing about, if we relate this to businesses, like starting a business, especially an online business, but any kind, there's usually in most of these markets, when you're researching your competition, it's good that if there is competition, but there's always the need for somebody else. Like, you, Nathan, have a certain way of describing things and a certain way of presenting things. Like, there's other people that do what you do. There's other copywriters out there. There's other people teaching how to, you know, do a podcast, but you have definitely you've polarized the market. So you've completely polarized people to where there are certain people that are like, I just want to hear from Nathan. Like, they're not going to listen to other people because they enjoy hearing it from you. And you probably have your own techniques and takes on different ways of doing things as well. But it's also your personality, the things, like, you tie in the libertarian stuff with it, you know, and, like, you've got funny posts going out. I mean, like, there's all kinds of things that go along with that. So I think that there's so many businesses that can go into any particular market, even crowded markets. It's like, if it's especially like an info product or something where you're teaching, there's so many different ways to do it usually it's not a case where, oh, that market is full already. Like, that is rarely, I rarely come across that when I look into different industries and different niches. It's usually like, oh yeah, there's plenty of room for somebody else here.
So how come, when it comes to, like, mindset, maybe, or maybe just worldview, I don't know, why is it that when me and you and other people like us look at all of this, we see so much possibility? We say, oh my gosh, the world is open with so many different possibilities. And other people look at the same situation and they say, all of the possibilities are disappearing. And I guess my real question is, when we see things like what's going on in Venezuela right now, where, I mean, socialism that only started 20 years ago or 30 years ago is completely just, I mean, they're eating animals out of the zoos now, where we see that happening time and time again, where people say capitalism has failed, we need to embrace socialism, socialism fails even worse, yet we're still seeing people like Alexandria, Cortez.
Cortez.
AOC. We see people like Jim Carrey coming out and saying, we need to stop seeing socialism as such a bad word. Why is it that when people like me and you see so much abundance and so much possibility, other people are seeing the opposite and they're saying we need to escape capitalism and embrace socialism?
Yeah, that's a really deep question, because I think, I mean, it's got to go back to childhood, right? I mean, there's no other way to really explain that, because we're born, when we're little toddlers running around, we're born with a level of curiosity, a high level of curiosity. And at some point, that just gets kind of wiped away for a lot of people. And they don't have, like, they start losing that curiosity. And then along with that goes the ability to see the world as abundant. And I think that's something that it's a combination of several things. I think it's parenting, the way kids are just kind of like shuffled off to these schools, and it's the parents sort of like, they sort of outsource the idea of like giving their kids exposure to all kinds of different things. They outsource it to the schools. And then the schools just teach like the really basic stuff, like math and reading and, you know, science and stuff like that. But they're not getting exposed to like the wide amount of things that are out there. And then once you finish school, when you finally get out of it, I think most people, they're just, all of that curiosity and excitement for the future is just kind of drummed out of them. And it's not everyone, because like you and I got out of that whole system and somehow we were able to see like the potential here. But I think for the vast majority, they go experience all of that. And it's like, it's just this tidal wave of just kind of crushing that curiosity. And I think that's kind of the start of it. But as far as like, yeah, you get into adult years, I think it also, then people get locked into these positions that they identify with. Like they're identifying with being a Democrat or Republican, or they believe in socialism or whatever it is. And they sort of like, it's like that thing where you latch onto a political candidate, and then whatever he or she says or does is right. And it didn't matter if you didn't agree with that 6 months ago, now they said this other thing, you just go with it because that's part of your identity. And you can't be like, okay, well, that's got to be right because that person said it, or that political party has this view now, so I have this view now. So it's sort of just taking, you know, again, like outsourcing your identity to some group and or some fictional sort of, body, I'd say.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
The world is a scary place. You're justified in being afraid. Greedy capitalists are killing the planet. Nazis are hiding in every shadow. Unvaccinated kids are targeting your children. Oh, and don't forget about the Mexicans and the terrorists. They're all coming to get you. Threats loom around every corner. We understand if you're terrified, but you don't have to be. Introducing Massive Government. Let our trusty politicians take care of you. Let them decide how your money should be spent. Let them be the arbiters of what's right and what's wrong. Let them control what your kids learn in school. Let them take total control of everything. That way, you can get back to the things that really matter, like watching TV and playing the lottery. By now, you're probably asking yourself, how do I get me some more of this massive government stuff? Well, I've got good news for you. For the low, low price of half of everything you earn and your complete submission to our authority, you can have peace of mind, a false sense of security, and everything else that comes along with massive government. The best part is, you don't have to send us any kind of payments. We're already taking them out of your paycheck. As an added bonus, trade in your freedom today and you'll receive 25% more authoritarianism for the lifetime of your account. That's a total of 100% control over your life. And all you have to do to cash in on this offer is nothing at all. Keep on watching TV, keep paying your taxes, keep voting, keep living in fear. Just don't start thinking for yourself. That's our only requirement. Keep doing the things you already do, the things you've always done, and we'll be here to rule over you like we always have been. The world is a scary place. Submit to massive government and feel safer today.
Now, back to our show.
So let's go back to kind of where we started this conversation at as we close it. Where do you see the future going, both for people like us, entrepreneurs, and everything that's going on, the limitless amount of possibilities that are at our fingertips now, and for society as a whole? It seems like we're at kind of a clashing point. It seems like the divide between the two mindsets is stronger than it's ever been before, and people are just digging in their heels. And obviously, neither of us are fortune tellers, but what are your thoughts on where we could see things going in the future in this country, worldwide? And that's a lot to kind of unpack, but give it your best shot.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a tough one. It's a tough question because I think I would say just it's sort of generally, I'm very bearish in the short term. I think what's going on now is it's just not leading to anything positive in the next couple of years, the next few years. But there are some bright spots that give me hope for the long term. And so as far as like, let's think about this in terms of like human potential, right? Because we've got these systems that sort of keep people trapped and into certain ways of thinking and all that. But what are the possibilities for human potential? And that's where I think that eventually, so we have a lot of things going on right now with like Trump. And I think the left is now like that, the AOC, that's sort of the Trump of the left. I think I've just been coming around to that because it's like, it's the same idea. Like Trump is not saying anything that's profound at all. Like there's nothing profound coming out of his mouth, but he's able to influence and manipulate people in a way that I don't think anyone's really done before. I mean, it's a whole different thing the way he's done it. And I think this AOC thing is very similar. And of course, her thing is not, it's not the same. It's not like she's getting on and berating people on Twitter, but there's a lot of crossovers there where it's like she's saying some stupid things, just like Trump says stupid things, and people are like just fawning over her, and it's like, oh, this is amazing. This is the way we have to go. And so I think that that in the short term, I see it like Idiocracy, that movie Idiocracy, where it just keeps getting more and more ridiculous. Like everything that comes out in the news, it's like it's more ridiculous than the last thing, and it's sort of helping the dumbing down of America or dumbing down of the world. And I think that's sort of our short term path. Is I think we're already seeing these big steps into Idiocracy, but I think that we can actually kind of there. I think there's some things out there that will help us to sort of get around this. Or maybe move past it at some point. And like cryptocurrency is one. I'm a big fan of the decentralized aspect and the privacy aspect of cryptocurrency. And I think that is something that right now in the world, you don't see a lot of it. I mean, there's almost none in the US. Like you don't hear about Bitcoin transactions very often. Maybe in third world countries, maybe in Venezuela, it's a little more popular because they're forced into it. But I think the more Venezuelas we have, the more cryptocurrencies will be used, and that'll start to spread. And people will see, like, look, we need to have decentralization. I'll give an example of this idea of decentralization as kind of helping along with the future of humanity and the future of, you know, the US and things like that. So I have a friend that I met when I was living in LA last year, and we were talking about, I kind of met him through this biohacking group. And we started talking about government, and he's like, well, decentralization is so powerful. Like it's changing business completely and cryptocurrencies and things like that and money. He's like, I don't see why that's not just going to change government, because government is the biggest centralized power that exists in the world. So he was like, yeah, I don't see any point in worrying about the government because they're going to be decentralized out of business, basically. And so I think this concept of decentralization is going to get, it's going to get stronger as we have these huge governments and these people, you know, this socialist kind of mindset kind of start to grow. I think we'll also see this decentralized movement grow at the same time. So that gives me hope for the future. And I think there's an element, now I'm not like a patriot, American patriot by any means, but I've traveled a lot. I've been to a lot of countries around the world. And I think there's an element in the US of a little bit of rebelliousness, a little bit of contrarianism that does not exist in any other part of the world that I've been to. And so that gives me a little bit of hope. I mean, I know that most people here in the US are pretty much sheep. They're just following along with whatever the mainstream is. But there's that. I think that because we had that, the Constitution originally, which is a really flawed document, but because we had that, I think it sort of established this this kind of individualist bent that we have here in the US. And I haven't seen it anywhere else. I go, you know, I've been Europe, Asia, South America, doesn't exist. So I think we have a chance here to really make things happen. Who knows what it'll look like? I mean, like you said, we can't predict it. I mean, there was a book called The Sovereign Individual. It was written in 1997 that predicted the rise of cryptocurrencies. This is way before, this is 12 years before Bitcoin was even existed. And they also predicted the fall of the nation state. And they said the way that it was going to go was that we were going to break into different regions. So like the USSR broke off into all these different countries. And the authors made the case that that's going to happen all over the world. And they are being proven right, because I was traveling through Europe last summer, and every country in Europe is having a secession movement somewhere. And so that didn't happen. Like 10 years ago, that wasn't happening. Now it's happening. And the US is so divided right now politically that, I mean, at some point, I think that is going to happen. There's all these ideas of like Texas separating, California breaking into several different states. Like, you know, I think eventually that's the way it's going to happen, because we all have a need for autonomy. And so that is being played out on a broader scale. So we all have a need for autonomy. So we're going to be, I think, breaking into smaller groups, which is at least a little bit of a benefit, but then having these big, huge governments. But yeah, and then it's just a matter of using your own, you know, your own resources, what you have access to right now, and being able to create something and you know, create something that you can live off of. And I think that's an important part of this, despite what is going on in the broader world and the broader economy, because it doesn't really matter. Like, you can start businesses in depressions, which, you know, who knows, we could be heading into one soon. And but there's no reason to lose hope, because that could be the best time to start your business.
Well, what you brought up kind of reminds me, or makes me think of, this strange paradox that I've been contemplating, which is right now we're in a time period where we're more connected than ever before. Like, I can sell my services to somebody on the other side of the world. I can get on a Zoom call with you and talk to you when you're on the other side of the continent. I can do business with people in totally different countries. And I think that the powers that be want to make this easier for them to regulate everything. They want to have, you know, more and more globalized control. Whereas at the same time, though, we're watching things like the EU is falling apart right now. We're watching things like in our own country, the people in rural America just don't see things the same way that the people in the left and the right coast of America do. We're seeing where, even though we have the ability to connect and come together like never before, we're all at the same time feeling this sense of, we still want to keep our own identity. And so this idea that the people that have been running stuff for so many years of just continually centralizing global power, as we become a global people, we're still seeing, and we're seeing even more of a push towards individual sovereignty. It's a weird paradox that we see going on.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's exciting times to be alive, for sure. I mean, this is like, history is in the making. And I think, I totally agree with you. I think the individual will rise at some point. I mean, it's so hard because there's so much collectivism out there and just groupthink and all that. But I think that it's going to change, and it's going to be, there's going to be some going back to the idea that, you know, entrepreneurs are who are moving the world forward, not governments. I mean, governments don't have anything. That's what people, I don't think they quite understand is that governments don't have any money. Like they don't, they only can take from people. That's all they can do. So to imagine that the government is going to somehow create this paradise of a world, I don't see how any, there's no history to defend that position. Like there's nothing that shows that. So it just doesn't make any sense that governments would suddenly get better at what they, you know, at rearranging the world in the right way. So, I mean, one of the struggles you mentioned, the EU. So there's two things going on is that as the EU is crumbling, most people that I talk to, the younger people in Europe, are really upset about these ideas of secession, because as the countries break away and the EU falls apart, they see it as traveling is going to become way more difficult, because if the EU doesn't exist, then they got to go through all these borders again. And that was a total nightmare. So they are, most of them are for like in the UK, a lot of them are just like, they can't understand the other side of like breaking away. They think it's like, The remain should be, everybody should be for remain, because it makes so much sense to be tied in with the EU, but they're not seeing the bigger picture. I think that's what's being lost, is that there's a much bigger picture out there, and they're just looking at it as like, oh, I won't be able to travel. Well, that, all that stuff is, I think, pretty easy to take care of. I mean, you have treaties or, you know, contracts between countries, and eventually that'll just be contracts between businesses. So it all can be handled very easily in the marketplace. But they're just looking at it as like the status quo. Like, well, right now it's easy to travel. If we do this breakaway thing and get away from the EU, then it's going to be a nightmare. And that's as far as their thinking goes. So, yeah. So it'll be, I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of rough times and battles, and, you know, hopefully the violence, the trend that we're in of violence decreasing just keeps going down, because I'm a firm believer that all of this, like if we can improve our communication with each other, I mean, it sounds a little bit hippy dippy or woo woo or whatever, but I think the communication one on one and just communication in general, if we can improve that, then we can get through all this. Like we can get through it with no violence, hopefully, and actually have a peaceful, more of a peaceful existence on Earth, which I think is what's being missed with like when people are supporting socialism or whatever form of government is their favorite.
Why do you think so many entrepreneurs, even though the rise of like these socialist ideals will mean the destruction of everything they've worked for, why do you think so many entrepreneurs are afraid to talk about this stuff?
Ooh, yeah, that's a really good one. I think it just goes back to just kind of human psychology, because we originated from tribes, and you step out of that tribe and all of a sudden you're outcast. And I think back then it was more of a life and death thing. Now, I think people are worried about being outcast from their world, whether it's their social media world or their entrepreneur group, or even just like, if I'm out there, if I'm expressing my opinions, my customers might get pissed off. So I better not say anything. I better not like step out too far. So when they hear something like this, like when they hear these ideas, like kind of radical ideas, I don't think it's a conscious decision of like, they don't take it into consideration and go, let me think, is that right or not? It's just an instant rejection of that, because it means their world would be shattered, like socially and possibly even profiting in their business. I think that's what happens. It happens in a fraction of a second where they hear like freedom, you know, these freedom ideas or voluntarism or something that is completely outside of what they've been dealing with this whole time. And they're just like, instantly no. And then you get into the like CPAs and lawyers, and where their careers are revolving around this system. And you start talking about the idea of not having that system, they're just gonna not even blink an eye. They're just like, you're completely, you know, you're not worth listening to for a second. So yeah, I think there's a lot of reasons, but it comes down to fear and not seeing the bigger picture of, look at all how much better things could be for even yourself personally without all these systems of control.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Okay, so we covered a lot today, and we didn't cover the one thing that I really wanted to cover, which was your other business besides TriSwim Coach. You actually help small businesses get their business up on the web. You help people create basically a global presence for their business. Without completely delving into a whole new podcast episode, sure, where can people go to check out more about that and maybe get a hold of you if they want to help if they want help doing what you've been able to do with your business with their business?
Yeah, sure. I'll just give a brief explanation of it. It's called Work Hero, and we help businesses with their annoying WordPress tasks and graphic designs. So it's people that are already, if you already have a business, if you've been running a business for a while, but you're still doing your graphic design, your technical, all the technical issues that go with WordPress, like plugins and setting up opt-in forms, things like that. If that's something that you're still dealing with and hiring VAs one-off and things like that, we have a flat rate monthly service that we can take on all those tasks for you. So it's basically just flat monthly rate. We'll do the designs, we'll do the technical work, and you just submit it to us, and it's super easy. The website is useworkhero.com. And I built this out of my frustration with building my other businesses and not having this kind of a thing available. So this is like my weaknesses were technical design, but I got good at growing teams and building out teams of VAs and setting up strategic partnerships. And then that's how Work Hero came about. But yeah, I'd love to talk to anyone that's listening that has a business that they are interested in doing something like this.
And give that website one more time.
Oh yeah, it's useworkhero.com.
Awesome. Kevin, thank you so much for joining me for this conversation. Thank you for having the, the fortitude to talk about some stuff that most entrepreneurs probably feel but aren't willing to express. And just thanks again, man. It's been a great conversation.
Yeah, man, this is awesome. I think these are great topics to cover, and I wish that people were more interested in them, but hopefully at least your listeners will get something out of this.
Did you enjoy the show? Do you want to help me create more of it? If so, then head on over to Patreon and find me at... just kidding. Fuck Patreon. But on the reals, I am a greedy capitalist. I do want your money. And I do have something really cool for you if you feel like sending me some shekels. Have you heard about the Free Market Squad? It's my private community, and inside of it, you'll be able to connect with a bunch of liberty-minded entrepreneurs and marketers. You'll also get access to trainings from some of the world's greatest marketers and A-list copywriters. These are the people who taught me how to build my two successful businesses so that I could do the work I love and be my own boss. So, if you want to show me some love, I'm going to give you something of immense value in return. Join the Free Market Squad, discover the selling secrets of some of the world's most successful marketers and copywriters, and get access to our private community of freedom-focused entrepreneurs. You help me, and I help you. That's what the Free Market Squad is all about. Head on over to freemarketsquad.com and get signed up today.